Blog Talk Radio.
Say Shabbat Shalom to everyone. I pray that you have eaten well in the word of the Most High today. I pray that you have gotten the prescribed rest. I pray that you have not been vexed in your spirit on this day. The Elohim of the Bible wants us to be joyous in our spirit, and he wants us to worship him with the spirit of joy, with the spirit of love, with the spirit of fear, really with total respect. And so on this evening, we're continuing where we left off this morning. We'll be in Numbers chapter 2 and still going through the covenant, the Elohim of the blood covenant. I had a strange conversation this afternoon, and I won't get into it here, but you know, we really need to, how do I say this? I'll just say it this way, as I told this individual. If you're not going to respect me, the man, respect the Elohim in me. There are certain things that vex me, and I really don't like. And so when someone tries to do that, puts me in an ill place mentally. And, you know, so I have to call on the Most High to remove those spirits and those thoughts from me. I want each and every person to understand that I believe what I teach and I practice what I teach. And when someone comes at me in such a way that they say they believe that, but their actions say otherwise, then it vexes me. It vexes me to, you know, tell me that this pastor does this. And that, you know, like I said, you know, a lot of this stuff is behind men wanting multiple wives. And I'm like, hey, I'm not going to teach what's not in the scriptures. Okay? And if it's permissible by the scriptures, then I'm going to teach it. But that don't mean that we're all supposed to do this. And so when a man takes on the priesthood, takes up an active role in the priesthood, he cannot have multiple wives. The scriptures forbid it. I don't care what they say. You know, we got people who take the title of pastor. I'm Pastor so-and-so. And then they got multiple wives, but the scripture says that a pastor, a bishop, an elder, all of these are the same in the New Testament. And it tells them that a bishop is to be the husband of one wife. So when we are supposedly men of the Most High and we take multiple wives and we want to be men of the Most High, then we are out of order. We are out of the covenant. We are out of the scriptures. So some people have certain beliefs about me that I found out that are just not true. And because, I'm going to teach what's in the scripture, what's permissible by the scripture. Whether I practice it or not is irrelevant. Still what the scripture says, it says. And if someone goes into those positions, then they have to understand that they can't do that. So, nevertheless, pray for me. Just pray for me. All right. We are, I want to greet everybody, whether you're in Pal Talk, whether you're in Blog Talk, whether you're on the internet in general, wherever you may be, we greet you in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And I pray that you are ready to eat from the word of the Most High. Let us do our statement of, well, we're going to start off again this way.
make me a house of bread. Make me a house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
Lord, make me a house, make me a house of prayer. Lord,
the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
May the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
I want to seek your face, seek your face, oh
Lord. Make me a house,
oh,
make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
May the fire on my altar never burn out, fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out,
make me a house of prayer.
I want to seek your face, seek your face, oh Lord.
Make me a house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
May the fire on my altar never burn out, the fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out, make me a house of prayer. Fire for my altar never burn out. The fire for my altar never burn out. May the fire for my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. We pray, Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. I wanna seek your face, seek your face, oh Lord. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. May the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. Please, Lord, make me a house. Make me a house. Seek your face, seek your face, oh Lord. Make me a house, make me a house of prayer. A house.
Supper at.
Day and night, night and day. Day and night, night and day. Day and night, night and day. Make me a house of prayer.
We pray
day and night, night and day.
May we pray
day and night, night and day.
Seek your face day and
night, night and day.
Make me a house of prayer.
Make me a house of prayer.
Day and night.
something I've learned as an Israelite.
Yeah.
Ooh, we've got to keep the commandments. I was tired of being fed up, so I got the Bible and opened it up. Yeah. And I saw that I was living wrong, wild out, yes I was. Now I do my best to follow these laws. Oh yeah. And I decided I would stop playing games. I don't wanna be the same like I used to be. Oh no. I'ma change my life. I'ma do things right. Too much, and the truth out the truth back and forth too much.
No, no.
This time I'm gonna be faithful, that's for sure. Yeah, 'cause I don't wanna live the way I did before. Oh, no, 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 no. I don't wanna be the same, no, no.
I'ma change my life, I'ma do things right, yeah.
And
even when
it gets hard,
I'ma be faithful like it is to me.
And I'ma do
my best, yeah.
Yes, I am, if I stay.
Our statement of faith, and I apologize, I needed a little bit of reinforcement there. Our statement of faith: I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give Yah, our Elohim, a hand clap of praise on this evening. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We just glorify you, Father, and we lift you up and we magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for all you have done, all that you're going to do. Hallelujah. We thank you for your promises and that you are faithful to them and that you are going to give them to us. Hallelujah. If we are faithful to you. So, Father, we just want to love on you this evening. We want to be at your feet. Hallelujah. We want to be in your presence, Father. Father, we need you. Hallelujah. Stop by here, Yah. Stop by here. Be with your people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you and we give you glory, honor, and praise. For you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. You are worthy. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. As we go before the Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together, Father, to close out your Shabbat that we have been so faithful to keep. Father, we ask that you would be among us. We need to feel you. We need to know that you are here and that you are with us. We need to know that you will protect us from all wickedness and evil. Father, from those spirits that are familiar spirits, those spirits that are evil and wicked spirits that pretend to be yours, but in reality, they serve the evil one. Father, I just want to glorify you. Magnify you, reflect you. You are goodness, and in you is no turning of darkness. So, Father, we just want to be like you. Father, come. We have prepared a place for you that you might sup with us. We need your presence. Bless us with your presence. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. Let us go to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. 1 Kings, chapter 8. And we're going to start in verse 46. Give me a hot second here. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 46. All right, amen. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry. Let me change this reading. I want you to bear with me. It's in my heart to read the scripture, but to put us into it. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 46. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us captive, carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whither we were carried captives, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou our prayer in our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause, and forgive us, thy people, that have sinned against thee, and all of our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah Elohim. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse, a blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah, your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah, our Elohim, or Yah, your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohims, which you have not known. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen and amen. And I pray that, you forgive me for personalizing the scripture. Sometimes I need to be reinforced myself. And, the scriptures are personal to me. I want to reaffirm where the Most High has me, us at, in his word. So I thank you for bearing with me with that. The scriptures are about us, and we need to take them on. And you should always personalize the scripture to yourself. Make it real for you. They and them are kind of impersonal when you got to figure out who the they and the them is. But when you say we and us, it personalizes. When you say I, because, if I was reading that on my own, I would have put myself in that, so that it becomes personal, that the Most High's promises are personal to me. But we're in a group environment, and I want us to understand that scriptures are real. The word of the Most High is real, and when we are reading them, in as much as possible, where it is practical, where it makes sense to, you want to personalize them to yourself. Okay. Again, I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be, in North America or South America, on the African continent or on the European continent. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved. We are continuing in the Elohim of the Blood Covenant. And we are in Numbers chapter 2. On this morning, we learned that the Most High said that for the men to be eligible to go to war, they had to be 20 years old and older. And then he numbered Israel according to the number of men that were over 20 years old. And we're going to continue in this reading. Numbers chapter 2, verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch his own standard. A standard is a flag. Okay? And I've been, you know, looking at, we need a flag. We need a standard. Okay? And I have one. I'm not sure if I'm 100% pleased with it. I'm not sure if the Most High is 100% pleased with it. But before I release it, you know, to everyone, a standard is a flag. And every country has a standard. The United States has the what? The stars and stripes. Saudi Arabia, the crescent moon and the star. Every nation has a standard. The Most High has a standard as well. Okay? So I've been praying to him, looking at that standard for Yah's global kingdom, to represent the kingdom of the Most High. Every man of the children of Israel shall pitch his own standard with the ensign of their father's house. Even your own family can have its own standard. But we have gotten so far away and so separated and so without identity that we, you know, we don't have a family standard, a family crest. We don't have, you know, when you talk about, you know, the knights in England and every duke and every... I forget there are the titles. They had their own family crest, a standard, an ensign. So you, for your own family, all of our families should have their own standard. And that standard should fly outside your house, and it should mean something. What do you stand for? What, you know, what's the honor in your family? You know, since we have come through slavery, we have accepted the standard of the nation that took us slaves, and we don't really have a family ensign or a family standard. But you know, I would encourage you, the Most High puts it on your heart, if you know, you want to develop your own family standard crest, there is nothing wrong with that. Should be from the man's house. Because, you know, a woman, when she marries a man, she becomes part of his family. And the children that she bear fall up under his sign, his standard, his ensign. And so the Most High is telling all the men, to put their standard outside their house, which means that they either already had to have one or they had to, what, create one. This standard stands for the house of Miles. And whatever that would be, this standard stands for the house of Yah. The Star of David never existed. And so that is a, when you look at that star in scripture, it's the star of Rephidim, a pagan god. So, you know, when you see this, quote unquote, the Star of David, it never existed in scripture. That was a star that they were worshiping, another deity that they were worshiping. Okay. So we want to have a standard. We want to have a banner. We want to have an ensign, a flag that identifies who we are, that our people rally to, that we identify with. And, you know, in my case, I just want to identify with the Most High and being in His family. So, verse 2 again. Every man of the children of Israel shall pitch his own standard with the ensign of their father's house. Far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. And on the east side toward the rising of the sun shall they of the standard, on the east side toward the rising of the sun, shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies. Nashon, the son of Amminadab, shall be captain of the children of Judah. So one of the things we want to pull out of this chapter is he's going to give us the position around the tabernacle. On the different sides of the tabernacle, Levites are going to be in the center around the tabernacle. And under this, but in the future, they may very well still have that position, but they won't be able to enter in to the tabernacle. Levites. Right now, in the Old Covenant, the Levites are the only ones in charge of the tabernacle. Okay? And the house of Aaron, the family of Aaron, are the only ones that can go into the Holy of Holies. The tribe of Levi, in this chapter, we're going to find that it encamps all around the tabernacle. But then the tribes have, outside of that circle of Levites, the tribes, each tribe has, besides the tribe of Levi, each tribe has a position in accordance to the tabernacle. So in this case, the tribe of Judah is on the east side of the tabernacle. So let's pick it up again. Verse 3, and on the east side toward the rising of the sun shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies. And Nashon, the son of Amminadab, shall be captain of the children of Judah. And his host and those that were numbered of them is 60. So 60,000, 14,000, so 74,600. And those that do pitch next unto him shall be the tribe of Issachar. And Nethaneel, the son of Zur, shall be captain of the children of Issachar. And his host, those that were numbered thereof, are 54,400. Then the tribe of Zebulun, and Eliabab, the son of Helon, shall be captain of the children of Zebulun. And his host, those that were numbered thereof, were 57,400. All that were numbered of the camp of Judah. Now the camp of Judah is made up of the camp of Issachar and Zebulun, along with Judah. They're all camped on the east side. And all that were numbered in the camp of Judah were 100,400, or 80,006,000, so 186,400 throughout their armies. These shall first set forth. So these three tribes, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun, are on the east side. They have their standards that identify their tribes, their families, and they are on the east side of the tabernacle. And on the south side shall be a standard of the camp of Reuben, according to their armies. And the captain of the children of Reuben shall be Elizur, the son of Shedeur. And his host and those that were numbered thereof were 46,500. 46,500. Remember, these are only the men that are 20 years old and older. And those which pitch by him shall be the tribe of Simeon. So we have Reuben and Simeon so far on the south side of the tabernacle. And the captain of the children of Simeon shall be Shelumiel, the son of Zerushaddai, and his house and those that were numbered of them were 59,300. Then the tribe of Gad. So we got Reuben, Simeon, and Gad on the south side. And captains of the son of Gad shall be Eliasapha, the son of Reuel. And his host, those that were numbered of them, were 45,650. All that were numbered in the camp of Reuben were 151,450 throughout their armies, and they shall set forth in the second rank. Then the tabernacle of the congregation shall set forth with the camp of Levites in the midst of the camp, as they encamp, so shall they set forward, every man in his place, by their standards. So let's review here what the Most High is saying. When they form up to leave, just like a military, when they form up to leave, the camps that are on the east are going to form up first. And the camps that are on the south will form up second. Then the Levites will form up so that the camps from the east and the south will be buffers for the Levites in the tabernacle. And then behind them, when they set out, we're going to read who's on the west side. So when they're moving, we got the tribe of Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun going out in front. Then we have Reuben, Simeon, and Gad, and their tribes moving out second. Then we got the Levites and the tabernacle in the middle of that. Now let's pick it up, who's on the west side and who will form behind the Levites. And on the west side shall be a standard of the camp of Ephraim, according to their armies. And the captains of the son of Ephraim shall be Elishama, the son of Aminahud, okay? And his hosts, those that were numbered of them, were 40,500. And of him shall be the tribe of Manasseh. And the captain of the children of Manasseh shall be Gamaliel, the son of Pedahazur. And his hosts, those that were numbered of them, were 32,200. And then the tribe of Benjamin. And the captain of the sons of Benjamin shall be Abidan, the son of Gideon. And his host and those that were numbered of them were 35,400. So we have Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin coming behind the Levites. And so the Levites are now in between Reuben, Simeon, and Gad, and Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin. This is when they're marching out. And his host that numbered with them were 35,400. And all that numbered with the camp of Ephraim were 100,000, 80,000, and 100. So 180,000 and 100 throughout their camps, throughout their armies. And they shall go forward in third rank. Now, first rank is Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. Second rank is Reuben, Simeon, and Gad. The third rank, which is not included in this, is Levi. He's sandwiched in between. So now it's saying the third rank. This is the Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin. Levi is not included in this. These ranks are protecting the tabernacle and the Levitical priesthood. Okay. Verse 24 again. And all that were numbered of the camp of Ephraim were 180,100 throughout their ranks. And they shall go forward in the third rank. This third rank does not include Levi. So Levi is not counted in this. But Levi is in the middle. The standard of the camp of Dan shall be on the north side. So now we have the north side. And understand that north, south, east, and west is talking about when they camp. But this is also the order in which they march out. Whenever the fire of the Most High would leave the tabernacle and move, they pack up the tabernacle and they follow this column of fire. This is the order that they would march out. Okay? So the standard of the camp of Dan shall be on the north side by their armies. And the captain of all the children of Dan shall be Ahiezer, the son of Amishadad. And his host, and those were numbered of them, were 72,700. And those that encamp by him shall be the tribe of Asher. And the captain of the children of Asher shall be Pagiel, the son of Akron. And his host, and those that were numbered of them, were 41,500. Then the tribe of Naphtali. So we got Asher and Naphtali. And Dan on the north side when they camp. And the captain of the children of Naphtali shall be Ahira, the son of Enan. And his host and those that were numbered of them were 53,400. All they that were numbered in the camp of Dan were 157,600. They shall go hindmost. Hind is behind. With their standards. So they're bringing up the rear. So when the Most High says, attention to orders, 10 hut, forward march, Judah would head out first, then Issachar, then Zebulun, then Reuben, Simeon, and Gad would fall into order after them. Then the tribe of Levite with the tabernacle would fall in line after them. Then we have Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin coming in behind the Levites. And bringing up the rear, we would have Gad, Asher, and Naphtali. And this is how they would go through the wilderness. This is how they would go into battle. Okay, this is how they would protect the tabernacle. Okay, let's keep going. So this tells us, you know, when the Most High brings us back into the wilderness and he tells us what tribes we're in, then we know where we're supposed to encamp, even around that tabernacle that's going to be in the wilderness. We know where we're supposed to camp. If he says, because, you know, right now people are kind of guessing what tribe they're in unless the Most High has revealed it to you. But whatever tribe he tells you, oh, you know, you thought you were Judah, but you're Joseph. Oh, you thought you were Issachar, but you're actually Manasseh. Oh, no, you are actually Issachar. Wherever he tells us. And then when we look in Ezekiel, I believe it's chapter 44, the Gentile nations that join themselves to Israel, they get to join in whatever tribe they want to join in. They don't have a tribe. But he tells us in Ezekiel chapter 44 that they get whatever tribe they want to join in. If they want to worship and serve the Most High, whatever tribe they want to join, then that tribe has to give them a possession in their land. So the Most High is not leaving the Gentiles out. He's not saying, oh, this is just Israel only. The strangers, in this case, we're going to say the stranger are the Gentiles in this case. As I told you this morning, stranger don't always mean Gentile. It's the context of the verse. So the strangers in this context are the Gentile nations that want to come close to the Most High. They want to join Israel. They want to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. He said they shall be as one in the land. They shall be as homeborn. They don't have a tribe that they were born into, so they get to choose what tribe they want to join. He says, and that tribe has to give them their possession in that tribe. They're not just there, you know, taking up space, living on borrowed land. They get a possession. They have joined. They have become one in the nation. So we've got to understand, you know, I'm throwing that in there right now, but for our understanding. We're not going to go read it. We'll read it at another time. But we see the order in which the tribes are supposed to be set up. And even when the Most High reestablishes Israel, according to the temple, each tribe already knows where their location is at. This portion of the city is yours. This portion of the land is yours, according to your tribe. You either on the east, the south, the west, or the north. And so within your families, you know, you got to go and decide which of this, what part of this land is yours. But we're given that order, okay? Verse 32, these are those which were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers. All those that were numbered of the camps throughout their hosts were 603,550. But the Levites were not numbered among the children of Israel, as Yah had commanded Moses. Didn't number them. Didn't assign them positions for war, to go out and make war. They are, the Levites' job at this time is to take care of the tabernacle. Now, because our forefathers, you know, I just throw this out here, so we just a little bit of history and what we read in the scriptures. Because our forefathers disobeyed and the Levitical priesthood disobeyed, the Levitical priesthood set up altars to other Elohims. Even inside the Most High's temple. And because they did that, he says, okay, you're going to still serve my temple, but you're going to be the butlers. You're going to be the doorkeepers. You're going to help the people with the sacrifice. But you shall not come in and minister unto me directly. Our forefathers and the Levitical tribe lost that privilege to minister directly to the Most High when he's sitting in his temple in the flesh. That is, you know, you can't treat him. That's why I say, you've got to understand the closer that you are to the Most High, the more restrictive. The more restrictive he is on you, the harder he is on you. And the Levites, being his priesthood, caused the people to worship other Elohims, to whore themselves out to other Elohims. He says, you don't get to do that and go unpunished. So you still get to work the temple, and you can do the menial labor stuff around the temple, but you don't get to come in and minister directly unto me. So, you know, another time when we're studying in Ezekiel or something, I will show you these verses so we understand that you don't just treat the Most High any way and think that you know, it's okay. It's not okay. Okay, and so when Christianity and, you know, whoever else is saying and teaching these things, they're just teaching lies. They're not teaching the full scriptures. They're not looking at what the Most High actually does in relationship to how you treat him. You know, when we were disobedient, why are the reasons we're scattered out throughout all the earth into every nation? Because of our disobedience? Comes a point where the Most High says, you know, enough is enough. I've given you enough chances. In the future, you still pay for those mistakes. And his priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, they're part of the priesthood, but their duties are greatly reduced and restricted. The house of Aaron can't come into the Holy of Holies. And so we got to understand there's consequences for doing these things. But right now we're reading about the order in which the tribes when they started marching out to march across the wilderness or to go into battle, this is the order. And when they're going into battle, then you just remove the Levites from that. So the Most High, he gives us his structure for everything. And these are his instructions. He set the order of the tribes. He set where they would be at. He set which tribes would be grouped together. This is not Moses' doing. This is the doing of the Most High Elohim. It's not like he said, Moses, go down there and arrange them and get them in order. No, the Most High always gives directions on how he wants things done. So if we go back up to verse 1, because I want us to understand that everything that we're reading are at the instruction of the Most High. And Yah spake unto Moses and said unto Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch his own standard. This is the direction of the Most High. It's not, you know, because you hear in the New Testament, the law of Moses, the law of Moses, the law of Moses. But Moses didn't do anything without the instruction coming from the Most High. It's just that Moses was the mortal man that the Most High used to communicate these things to the people. And so they say the law of Moses, but the law of Moses is the law of the Most High. The standards of Moses are the standards of the Most High. And so we need to always keep that in front of us with that understanding that Yah spake unto Moses and said, do this. And everything that we've read, it always starts off that way. And Yah spake unto Moses, and it tells you where he spoke to him at, to tell him to do these things. But somehow, like when we read in Acts chapter 15 or Acts chapter 15, and they are saying, do the Gentiles have to keep the law of Moses? As though this came, you know, directly from Moses and not the Most High. And so we want to be very mindful of that. That we don't get that mentality that Moses said. Because Moses made a mistake. Made one mistake. And it wasn't striking the rock. Shall we give you water out of this rock? I can see the Most High look over there like, what'd you just say? You ain't gonna cause nothing to come out of that rock. You have overstepped your authority. And you've taken glory from me. You're trying to take my glory. Caused Moses not to be able to enter into the promised land. Not because he struck the rock, because he took the glory from the Most High and he tried to take credit. And he may have made a mistake doing it. It may have been a slip. Maybe he had gotten full of himself. I don't know. But it was enough to keep him from going in the promised land. He slipped once. And we slip daily. And don't question whether we got a chance of entering in or not. So when we look at the examples that the Most High gives us concerning how he judges things, I often wonder, how do we come up with our standards thinking that, you know, what we think, his behavior recorded in the scripture don't justify how people think. Moses, nobody is like Moses, my servant, whom I talk to mouth to mouth. Aaron, what was his sister's name? Miriam, you seek to open your mouth and speak against my servant? And so, you know, we have to understand that the Most High, if Moses messed up once and it kept him from taking Israel into the promised land, how do we keep thinking that we get all these different chances? All right. I see somebody raised a hand. Sister Mary, shalom.
No, I was just trying to tell you, Miriam.
All right. Amen. Thank you, my sister.
Amen.
Yeah, I was having a brain dump for a second.
That's okay.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So we need to understand that we don't get to do to the Most High what people, you know, what they are saying that we get to do. You know, he's merciful and he's kind and he's long-suffering. He is all those things. But the closer you come to him, the more accountable he holds you. And Moses got to mess up once. He didn't even get to mess up once. He messed up once. Moses, you done led these people around the wilderness for 40 years. And I meant to take them into the promised land within the first few months of bringing them out of Egypt. But because of their stiff neck and their hard-heartedness, they had to walk around the wilderness for 40 years. And Moses was supposed to take them into the promised land. But then Moses messed up. And the Most High said, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to let you get up on top of this mountain, and I'm going to let you see the promised land. I'm going to let you look at it, but you ain't going to enter in. You're not going to take them in. So we need to be mindful of that. We need to understand that when we come into this covenant relationship with the Most High, we don't just get to do any and everything. That's why he told Israel, when he kicked us out of the land, he said, don't tell nobody you're my people. Don't tell them that you're my people because you caused them to blaspheme me. To say I couldn't keep you. When I read that, I was like, wow. You know, and one of the biggest things of Hebrew Israelite is to tell everybody who we are. And then we get out there on the street corners and act a fool. We get in front of people and we act a fool. And we tell the people that we're the people of the Most High. And they look at us and say, really? You acting all that crazy, out here cussing up a storm, yelling at people, cussing people out, smoking weed, drinking, getting drunk. People can see how you act. You're fighting one another. And you're the people of the book. And you say you belong to the Most High Elohim, and you're his chosen people. He says, you caused them to profane my name. But we don't read this stuff and we don't understand it and we don't hold ourselves accountable to it. See, it's not a small thing to say that you're the people of the Most High. Because the Elohim that we serve is not an Elohim of confusion. He's not an Elohim of evil. He's not an Elohim of being unstructured. That's why he gives specifically everything how he wants it done. And he says, and when you do it outside of that, it's strange to him. That's strange. I didn't tell you to do that. That is not what I told you to do. I told you exactly what to do, and I told you exactly how I wanted it, and that's how I want it. And so we feel like we can just do and offer how we want to do it. And he's just supposed to accept it. And he doesn't. And so, as we see, he sets up the tribes in the order that he wants them in. And he tells them exactly who qualifies to go fight and who don't. And he says, when you march out of here, march out in this order. And when we stop the camp, these tribes go to the east. These tribes go to the south. These tribes go to the west. These tribes go to the north. Do it like that every time. Every time we stop, set up this way. And so couldn't have, you know, we march off, and when we stop, Judah sets up in the north. And Dan goes and sets up in the east. Can't do that. We will be out of order. The Most High said, what the? This is strange to me. I didn't tell you to do it that way. That's what he means by strange in that context. I didn't tell you to do it like that. It's strange to me. I already have an order. And you are out of order. So everything that we do, he tells us what to do. He expects us to do it that way. And when we do it the way we want to do it, how do you think the Most High sees it? Oh, you got good intent. There have been a lot of men in the Bible with good intent. Oh, let me stop the ark from falling. That was a good intent. Died. Oh, let me burn incense at this time. You think Aminadab, Nadab, and Abihu didn't have good intent when they burnt that incense? But the Most High said, I didn't tell you to do that then. That's strange to me. It's out of order. So when you do things, when you make up something to do, when you say you're going to do something for the Most High, you need to check in first. Has he ordered a way to do this? And if he has, you need to do it that way. And if he hasn't, you need to find out if he's against it. Because see, we might have heard some things and we might think that people are worshiping the Most High and they're worshiping something else. But it sounds good to us, and we go do it to the Most High. And the Most High says, that's strange to me. I told you, don't do anything that they do to their pagan gods. You shall not do it unto me. So I digress. But it's something that needs to be said as part of this order and structure. So, if Moses can only mess up one time and it kept him out of the promised land, don't keep assuming that you can keep messing up over and over and over again. And the Most High has got to forgive you, because Moses messed up once and he didn't forgive him. Esau despised his birthright and he didn't forgive him. But somehow, we're special. No, I really think we're spatial. And we have lost our minds. And we're making the Most High something and someone whom he is not, who we don't portray in the scriptures. All right, let's move on. Numbers chapter 3. These also are the generations of Aaron and Moses in the day that Yah spake with Moses in Mount Sinai. And these are the names of the son of Aaron, Nadab, firstborn, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the priests which were anointed, whom he consecrated to minister in the priest's office. The Levitical priesthood, they were like deacons in the church. They help run the church. The deacons in the church, collect the offerings. They help to make sure that the church is clean and that it's open and that the lights are on. They pay the bills. They collect the tithes. They deposit the money. This is what the Levites, everybody but the family of Aaron, Aaron's family, the high priest, they were considered the priests. They're the ones that went in amongst the Most High. Okay? And Nadab and Abihu died before Yah when they offered strange fire before Yah. They simply offered, they burnt incense at the wrong time. And the Most High said, this is strange. I gave you an order. I told you when and how to do everything. And you are out of order. And he burnt them up. Now, because of their names, Nadab meaning liberal and Abihu meaning worship, he burnt up liberal worship. That means you can't go and make this thing up with the Most High. You can't take your liberality and worship him outside of what he has said. This is this lesson that he was using these two men to teach the nation of Israel. You will sanctify me. You will hold me special. And what I tell you to do, you will do it exactly how I tell you to do it. And you will not take the liberty to do it otherwise. So you have to find out whether you are within the will of the Most High whenever you do anything. I don't care what it is. Because if you don't do it the way he said do it, he's going to look at you like you're strange. I pray we can hear this. Verse 4 again. And Nadab and Abihu died before Yah when they offered strange fire before Yah in the wilderness of Sinai. And they had no children. And Eleazar and Ithamar ministered in the priest's office in the sight of Aaron their father. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, here's some more instruction, Moses. Bring the tribe of Levi near, and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him. What is he saying? He's going to clarify it. Next verse. And they shall keep his charge, and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation, to do the service of the tabernacle. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation, in the charge of the children of Israel, to do the service of the tabernacle. And thou shalt give the Levites, now hear this, thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons. They now own all the families of the Levites. And they are wholly given unto him out of the children of Israel. So all of the Levitical families, the tribes of Levi, the families of Levi, the Most High said they now belong to Aaron and his sons. Wholly, completely. Whatever they say do, that's what you do. You are now not your own. You belong to Aaron and his sons. Okay? We got to understand this. Verse 9 again, and thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons. They are holy, not holy as in sanctified, but completely given unto him out of the children of Israel. And thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on their priest office, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. Now, this is the second time we've read this. The strangers weren't supposed to come close. But the strangers, as I said, does not mean just the Gentile nations. This is talking about all the other tribes outside the Levitical priesthood, outside the Levitical tribe. they can't come close to the tabernacle. Okay? That's the stranger in this. So let's read verse 10 again, understanding that the stranger is not Gentile nations or those people who are not born in Israel. Stranger in this case includes, when we read it a little bit later, Aaron and his household were over the Holy of Holies. That means that all these Levites that belong to Aaron, they can't come close to the Holy of Holies. And the Most High says, you know, the Holy of Holies got to be packed up by Aaron and his sons. And when it comes time to unpack it and set it up, Aaron and his sons have to do this. Not the tribe of Levi. It was Aaron and his sons. That was their job, to take care of the Holy of Holies. And all the other Levites would be strangers. And all the other tribes of Israel would be strangers. They couldn't come close to the Holy of Holies. Now, when it came to the tabernacle, the curtains and everything else that went with it, the tribe of Levi was responsible for tearing that down and putting it back up. And all the other tribes would be strangers. They couldn't come close. So I hope we understand this. So if they couldn't come close, surely one of another nation could not come close. That's the point. If your own people are considered to be strangers when it comes to this tabernacle, and they can't come close to it, surely one of another nation couldn't come close to it. But Israel, when we read this, we'll say, oh, stranger, see? You Gentiles can't have nothing to do with this. If they had understanding, then they would understand even they, depending upon what tribe they were in, would be a stranger. Okay. So if you were of one of the other 11 tribes and you came close to the tabernacle, you were supposed to be put to death. Okay. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, verse 11, and behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of all the firstborn. Now, I want us to pay attention here. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 19 in a second, because I want you to understand what the Most High is saying here. And behold, I have taken the Levites among all the children of Israel instead of all the firstborn. That opens up the matrix among the children of Israel. First, the Most High said, all the firstborn in Israel are his. Now he's changing it and saying, I'm replacing all the firstborn of Israel with the Levites. Okay? So, and behold, I've taken the Levites from among the children of Israel. Instead of all the firstborn, that opens the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore, the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. Hear what the Most High is saying. Now, hear what he's saying in this next part of this verse. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, what did he just say? All the firstborn are mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn of Israel. I replace all the firstborn of Egypt with all the firstborn of Israel to be mine. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 19 and we'll come back here. Isaiah chapter 19, because we want truth. Okay, we want truth. Isaiah chapter 19. And let's jump down to let's jump down to verse 20. This may give us everything that we need. Now let's go to verse 19. Okay? Isaiah chapter 19, starting in verse 19. In that day shall there be an altar to Yah in the midst of the land of Egypt. Now remember, we just read that he said that he smote all the firstborn in Egypt, and he replaced them with all the firstborn of Israel to be his. Hear what he's saying. And a pillar at the border thereof to Yah, and it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto Yah of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they shall cry unto Yah because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior, a great one, and he shall deliver them. And Yah shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know Yah in that day, and shall do sacrifice to who? To Yah. And oblations to who? To Yah. Yea, they shall bow a vow unto Yah and perform it. And Yah shall smite Egypt. Now, why is he going to smite Egypt? Because they're stiff-necked and hard-hearted like Israel. And he shall smite and heal it. And they shall return. They shall return even to Yah. Wait a minute. In order to return to Yah, you had to first belong to Yah. Okay? To return to him, you got to belong to him at one time. He told us when he took us out of Egypt that he smote the firstborn of all the land of Egypt. Why did he smote the firstborn? Because all the firstborn of Egypt belonged to him. That means that he was the Elohim in Egypt. And all the firstborn in Egypt belonged to him. But he had decided to cut that people off. So he brought 70 souls into Egypt to make a new nation, Israel. But I want us to understand the history, because you just need to know the truth, okay? You just need to know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And Yah shall smite Egypt, and he shall smite it and heal it. And they shall return even to Yah, and he shall be entreated of them and shall heal them. In that day shall be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrians shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptians shall serve with the Assyrians. Now the Most High has always used Egypt or Assyria all through the scriptures. When Messiah, where did Messiah go? Where did Joseph take Messiah when Herod wanted to kill him? Into Egypt. Where did Jeroboam run when Solomon wanted to kill him? He ran into Egypt. Okay? Who did the Most High use to come and whip people's behind? Assyria. Even to whip Egypt's behind, he used Assyria. Okay? So understand, these names aren't in here by mistake. By chance. So let's keep reading. In that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land. Verse 25, whom Yah of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the works of my hand, and Israel, my inheritance. We are the priesthood. We are the inheritance of the Most High. But who are his people? Now, Egyptians don't know this. They're too busy trying to be separate. Hebrews don't know this. They're too busy trying to be all that in a bag of chips. But the Most High tells us, he told us back when we're reading in Numbers, all the firstborn of Egypt were mine. I was the Elohim in Egypt. They corrupted themselves. I cut them off. Told Moses, I'm going to send you into deliver the children of Israel from Egypt, because I have determined to what does he say? I have determined to judge them and to destroy them. Why? Because they corrupted themselves. And so you hear Egyptians today, you hear brothers saying, I'm an Egyptian. And y'all stole our religion from us. No, your forefathers corrupted themselves. The Most High brought up another nation, Israel, to be his inheritance, his priesthood. He had a priesthood in Egypt. But they corrupted themselves. And so the Most High said, all right, I'm going to raise up a priesthood. I'm going to send it into Egypt to raise it up, that it might become a nation. And then I'm going to come take that people out of Egypt, and I'm going to destroy Egypt that I was the Elohim over on my way out. So understand what the scriptures are teaching. You're not taught this, but understand what the scriptures are teaching. We got to understand that everything is important. We are his priesthood. We are a nation of priests. He said, this is what I will make you, a nation of priests, a holy nation. I got a people. You're supposed to be the priesthood to that people. You think it's just the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel are the priestly priesthood. But who are the people of the Most High? Brother Miles didn't say this. It's written right there in your Bible. Blessed be Egypt, my people. Okay. Assyria, the works of my hand. And Israel, my inheritance. The Most High says exactly what he means. And he means exactly what he says. So when we got brothers being puffed up, needing to have an identity and claiming to be, oh, we're the only people that he ever dealt with. They are dealing from a lack of knowledge. That is right here in their own book. But I would not have you to be ignorant of this. I would not have you to be ignorant. I wouldn't be teaching you the entirety of the scriptures. I could, you know, say, oh, well, I'm not going to ever mention that verse. Because I want you to be, you know, think you're all that in a bag of chips because the Most High chose you. I want you to think that you're the only ones that he's ever dealt with. It's not true. When people read those scriptures, they're reading them from a lack of understanding. The Most High chose Israel. He said, I'm choosing you, and I'm going to make you my priesthood. And only you have I loved, but I got a people. They have served me for thousands upon thousands of years, but they corrupted themselves utterly, up until the point that it would be like Solomon saying, I'm God. It would be like David saying, I'm God. That's what Pharaoh did. I'm God. They corrupted themselves. And so he cut them off. But they're going to come back. This is written in the word. And they shall return. And you can't tell that Egyptian from the Hebrew. That's why Pharaoh couldn't tell Moses wasn't one of his own kinfolk. That's how Moses grew up in his house. So Everything is in the scripture. You just need the Most High to show it to you. You just need to be open to the word of Yah. There's nothing in here by accident. Nothing. Okay, let's go back to Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter 3. Verse 12 again. So when we read verse 12, we have a deeper understanding. And I behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of all the firstborn that opens the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore, the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I separated unto me all the firstborn in Israel. I killed all the firstborn in Egypt. I replaced them with the firstborn in Israel. And when the Most High is done with you, he starts burning bridges. Egypt, you used to be my firstborn. And you used to belong to me. Now I'm cutting you off and I'm replacing you with the firstborn of Israel, my chosen priesthood. Both man and beast, mine shall they be. I am Yah. So the Most High coming out of Egypt, bringing Israel into the wilderness. Egypt is his people. I destroyed Egypt on my way out. I destroyed them with everything that they worship. And I showed them that everything that they worship was not a god. That I was controlling everything that they worship, even up to you, Pharaoh. If you be a god, stop me from killing your firstborn. Because your firstborn son belonged to me too. And you are no longer my people as far as me living among you. As far as me giving you your glory. We don't know a tenth of what Egypt used to be. We see the pyramids and the Sphinx. And those things, and man can't do it today. And they're trying to figure out how did they do it. They did it by the power of the Most High Elohim. That's how they did it. And that Sahara Desert ain't always been there. The Most High caused that to come. I read it somewhere, and I'm still trying to find these scriptures. But the Most High caused the Sahara Desert to come in and to cover up Egypt. He left a remnant, just like he said he would leave a remnant of Israel. He left a remnant of the Egyptian. A remnant, a very small remnant. And we marvel at what he left. Science is still marveling at what the Egyptians, quote unquote, did. Trying to guess how they did it, because even with all our modern machinery, we can't do it. And the Most High says, I was the Elohim in Egypt. I made Egypt great. And they defiled themselves. They went a-whoring after other gods. And I destroyed them and left a remnant because they are my people. So when we're reading the scriptures, let us read with understanding. And don't think that, you know, we're all that in a bag of chips because we say we're a Hebrew Israelite. Because the truth of the matter is, if we are not if we have not done it the way Messiah said to do it, if we have not come through Messiah, if we have not been filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, we are not Israel. We would just be a Hebrew. You are a Hebrew. But in order to become a citizen in the kingdom, in the nation of Israel, you got to do it the way the Most High said do it. Or you're just claiming to be something that you're not. You're an illegal citizen. Because Hebrew is a nationality. No, Hebrew is an ethnicity. Israelite is a nationality. It's like saying Mexican-American. I'm Mexican by ethnicity. I'm American by nationality. That's what that person would be saying. African-American. We're saying that we're African by ethnicity and American by nationality. Only problem is that Africa is a continent full of countries. And so we don't say what country we're from. We just say, oh, I'm African-American. Really no such thing. But because we didn't know who we come from, we should, if anything, if we are in truth, we should say I'm a Hebrew American, because we don't really have a country. But to say we're Hebrew Israelite and we have not come back the way that the Most High says to come back, then we really are making stuff up. You got to be His to be an Israelite. So I pray that we hear this, because there's so much false doctrine. There's so much false information. There's so much will of man, desire of man, the need of the Hebrew to have an identity, the need of the American Negro that came through slavery to have an identity. So granted, yes, you're the people of the book. But when you find out that you're the people of the book and you find out how you lost your nationality, surely you would do what it takes to get your nationality back. Most High says you got to come through just like everybody else. You got to come through Messiah. You must be born again. That's the only way you can become back the people, my people. Other than that, you're still cut off. That's why you scattered. So you want to come in? That's the way you got to come in. Most of our people are claiming to be Hebrew Israelite or just Hebrews. Still haven't done what the Most High has said to do. And more Gentiles have done what He said to do and be part of the nation. That's why He said that the seed of Abraham would be on the outside looking in into the kingdom. Because we refuse to do what the Most High says to become part of the nation again. We just want to declare, yeah, I'm part of the nation because of the color of my skin. Deceived. Woefully deceived. That's why we don't see any conversion. That's why we see people still running around fornicating and committing adultery and stealing and killing one another and not loving their brother or their sister the way the Most High said it, to do it. Deceived. Just need to have an identity. And claiming something that they have not come back and earned the right to call themselves. But I just wanted to show us by the scripture, the Most High says it over and over again, we are His inheritance in the earth. I got a people. You are my priesthood. You are who minister to me. Think about this. You are who minister directly to me, the Most High Elohim. That's your job. That's why I selected you. But I got a people that I'm punishing for their disobedience. And they're going to return to me. So you got to know who you are. You got to know your place. You got to know what's expected of you. See, truth be known, a lot of our people, by their actions, a lot of our people don't want to be Israel. They want to be Egypt. They want to be the people of the Most High, but they don't want to be the priesthood. They don't want to have to live this holy. Hear what I'm saying to you. They want to be the people of the Most High, but they don't want to be his priesthood. That means they want to be Egyptian. They don't want to be his priesthood. They don't want to come that close. They don't want to be in this covenant. You are my priesthood. You are my inheritance. This is the covenant for my priesthood, not the covenant for the world, not the covenant for Egypt, my priesthood. You need to ask yourself, what do you want to be? Because they are teaching this thing so far off and so misteaching it that people don't know who or what they want to be. So if you come into this covenant, even the Christian that thinks that, you know, when he accepts Messiah, what he's coming into, don't understand what he's coming into. These pastors that are teaching don't even understand what they are teaching. Let's continue, because I'll go off the deep end. Verse 12 again. And I, behold, I taken the Levites from among the children of Israel, instead of the firstborn that opens the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed or separated unto me, all the firstborn of Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall they be, I am Yah. And Yah spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, number the children of Levi after the house of their fathers, by their families, every male from month old and upward shall thou number. Now the Levites, he numbers from how old? A month old. All the men in Israel he numbered from 20 years old. But the priesthood he numbered starting at a month old and upward shall you number them. And Moses numbered them according to the word of Yah, as he had commanded. And these were the sons of Levi by their names, Gershon and Kohath and Merari. And these are the names of the son of Gershon by their families, Libni and Shimei. The sons of Kohath by their families, Amram and Izhar, Hebron and Uzziel, and the sons of Merari by their families, Mahili and Mushi. These are the families of the Levites according to the house of their fathers. Of Gershon was the family of the Libonites, and of the family of the Shemites. Shemites. These are the families of the Gershonites. And those were numbered of them according to the number of all their males, from a month old and upward. Even those were numbered of them were 7,500. And the families of the Gershonites shall pitch behind the tabernacle westward. So now I want you to also understand this, that each family of the Levites had a place to go. Just didn't gather where they wanted to. The Gershonites were supposed to pitch behind the tabernacle, what? Westward. And the chief of the house of the fathers of the Gershonites shall be Elisaphah, the son of Lael. And the charge of the sons of Gershon in the tabernacle of the congregation shall be of the tabernacle and the tent. So this is what they're in charge of, the tabernacle and the tent, the covering thereof, and the hangings of the doors of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the hangings of the court, and the curtain of the door of the court, which is by the tabernacle, and by the altar round about, and the cords of it for all the service thereof. And Kohath was the family of the Amorites. Amramites. And the family of Isaharites, and the family of the Hebronites, and the family of Uzielites. These are the families of the Kohathites. And the number of the males from a month old and upward were 8,600, keeping the charge of the sanctuary. The families of the sons of Kohath shall pitch on the side of the tabernacle southward. So on the west side, we have the Gershonites. And I want to write that one down. And on the south side, we have the family of Kohath, the Kohites. And what are they in charge of? And their charge shall be the ark, and the table, and the candlestick, and the altars, and the vessels of the sanctuary wherewith they minister, and the hanging, and all the service thereof. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, shall be chief over the chief of the Levites, and have the oversight of them that keep the charge of the sanctuary. And Merari with the family of the Mahalites and the family of the Mushites, these are the families of Merari. And those that were numbered of them, according to the number of males, from the month old and upward, was 6,200. And the chief of the house of the father of the families of Merari was Zuriel, the son of Abilahel. These shall pitch on the side of the tabernacle northward. So we have the family of Merari in the north. And under the custody and charge of the sons of Merari shall be the boards of the tabernacle, and of the bars thereof, and of the pillars thereof, and the sockets thereof, and the vessels thereof, and all that serve thereto, and the pillars of the court round about, and their sockets, and their pins, and their cords. But those that encamp before the tabernacle toward the east, even before the tabernacle of the congregation eastward, shall be Moses and Aaron and his sons. These are, Moses is the prophet. Aaron and his sons are the priest, keeping the charge of the sanctuary for the charge of the children of Israel. So Moses and Aaron and his sons were toward the east. Just making an annotation here. And shall keeping the charge of the sanctuary for the charge of the children of Israel, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. All that were numbered of the Levites, which Moses and Aaron numbered at the commandment. So, because the Holy of Holies, Moses and Aaron and his sons were in charge of it, the other tribes couldn't come close. And even if they were instructed, had the job of carrying it, we'll read later that if they had the job of carrying the Ark of the Covenant, when it was being packed and all the altar and everything, they couldn't look at it. Okay? Even if they were in charge of it, they could only carry it covered. Okay. Verse 39, let's finish this up. All that were numbered of the Levites, which Moses and Aaron numbered at the commandment of Yah, throughout their families, all the males from a month old and upward were 20 and 2,000. And Yah said unto Moses, number all the firstborn of the males of the children of Israel from a month old and upward, and take the number of their names. Now here's the firstborn, not just males, but the firstborn. Because the firstborn belonged to the Most High, and he said he would replace them with the Levites. And thou shalt take the Levites for me, I am Yah, instead of all the firstborn from among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites, instead of all the firstborn among the cattle of the children of Israel. And Moses numbered, and as Yah commanded, all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and all the firstborn males by the number of names, from a month old and upward, of those that were numbered of them, were 22,213. So 22,273. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle, instead of the cattle of the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. I am Yah. And for those that are to be redeemed of the 213 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, which are more than the Levites. If you look at this number real quickly, you will find out that the number of the Levites were 22,000 was their number. But the number of the firstborn of the children of Israel was 22,213, one for one. So what he's saying in this verse down here, take the Levites instead of the first, 45 again, take the Levites instead of the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine, I am Yah. And for those that are to be redeemed, see, it's a one-for-one exchange. The 273 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, which are more than the Levites. Look and see what they had to do. Thou shalt even take 5 shekels, a piece by pole. After the shekel of the sanctuary, thou shalt take them. The shekel is 20 gerahs. And thou shalt give the money wherewith the odd number of them to be redeemed unto Aaron and his sons. They had to pay a price. Those that couldn't be covered, there had to be a price to cover them. And Moses took the redemption money of them that were over and above them that were redeemed of the Levites. So the Most High said, a one-for-one exchange. One firstborn of Israel for one Levite. When you finish, how many, do you got more priests? Or do you have more Israelites? They have more Israelites. He says, now, of all those Israelites that are over the number of the priests, they have to be redeemed with 5 shekels. Okay? This is the same system he's going to put into the world. That's why he said he numbered the boundaries of all the nations. Hear what I'm saying. He numbered the boundaries and the number of people that all the nations would have according to the number of the children of Israel, their firstborn. A one-for-one exchange, the firstborn of the world for the firstborn of Israel. For the Levitical, the priesthood. And so the world, anything that's above the number of the children of Israel has to be redeemed by the world. And it will come to Israel. It will come to Messiah, really. If we understand what the Most High is doing. He hasn't changed. And so just as he swapped out the firstborn of Israel for the firstborn of Egypt, and then he said, I created the nations according to the number of the children of Israel. So just like the firstborn of Israel had to be redeemed, all those that couldn't, that weren't covered by one of the priests, one of the Levites, he will use the same process in the world. So I pray we can see this. I pray we understand. Okay. Verse 48, and thou shalt give money wherewith the odd number of them is to be redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons. And Moses took the redemption money of them that were over and above them that were redeemed by the Levites. And the firstborn of the children of Israel took he the money, 1,365 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. So 1,365 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. And Moses gave the money of them that were redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons. The Most High doesn't want the priesthood to be what? Poor. When we think of a poor priest, that is a Western construct. The Most High never intended for the priesthood to be poor. And Moses gave the money of them that were redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons, according to the word of Yah, as Yah commanded Moses. So when the Most High is saying to do something, that's what he means to do. And this concept of redeeming those that are over the priesthood. When I mean over, that means that if the ministry has one priest and there's 1,000 people, a one-for-one exchange, 999 got to be redeemed until the Most High calls the priesthood to grow. One for one. We read these things, and maybe we don't. And maybe we don't have understanding. So like I said last night, when the Most High commanded us to tithe, and he commanded it, and it's part of the covenant. Part of the covenant. And when we don't do it, we break the covenant. Because we are in transgression. And see, all this redemption, redeeming those that are above the priesthood, the number in the congregation, people ain't trying to hear that. They're not trying to hear that. If the Most High said you commit a certain sin, not only were you supposed to bring a sacrifice, you were also supposed to bring a monetary amount of money. But people ain't trying to hear that either. But we say we are in covenant with the Most High. That's why I wanted, you know, he wants us, and I wanted to, but he wants us to go over the covenant so that we can see how far out of whack we are. So that we can see just how far out of whack, out of the will of the Most High that we are. And then we say we're in covenant with him. We say we're in relationship with him. But we're doing what we damn well want to do and not what he said to do. We don't understand that we are his inheritance. And as his being part his inheritance, he has entered into a contract with us, a covenant with us. And if we say we want to be in this covenant, we got to abide by everything in the covenant, in the contract. The So here we see him redeem the firstborn of Israel first for the firstborn of Egypt. I'm transferring. You are no longer my people. This is my people. You'll repent and come back to me in the future, but this is my people and my inheritance right here. And I'm going to deal with my priesthood, and I got to get my priesthood right. Because, see, originally, all of the 12 tribes of Israel were supposed to be the priesthood. But the priesthood corrupted itself and became in need of a priesthood. So there's an order here. All of the sons of Levi, all the offspring, belong to the family of Aaron. They were given to Aaron by the Most High, given to him as a possession. And so we got to understand the Most High's ways. It's not something that Moses made up. And Yah spake to Moses and said, let's read verse 51 again and leave on this note. And Moses gave the money of them that were redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons, according to the word of Yah, as Yah commanded Moses. Yah said, number the children of Israel. Number the firstborn. Number the firstborn of Israel from a month old. Number the firstborn of Levite from a month old. Swap them out one for one. And everybody that can't be redeemed, everybody that can't be swapped out, whatever's left over must be redeemed with money. And that money is to go to Aaron and his sons. Moses didn't make that up. This is at the instruction of the Most High. So my closing thought to you on this night, in this reading, make sure that you understand what your duties and responsibilities are. Make sure that you understand that in this covenant, if you don't keep it all, you break it. You don't just break that one thing, you break the agreement. And all the promises of the agreement are null and void. Until you bring yourself back in covenant by not breaking them. And praying that the Most High accepts you back. So you can't do what you want to do. You can't do it how you want to do it. He don't accept that. He doesn't accept that. And he shows us time and time again, he don't accept that. So when we finish this thing up, you will know exactly what's expected of you. You will know that it wasn't Brother Miles, just like it wasn't Moses, that said, do this. This is the Most High Elohim himself. And we just want to do and worship him in spirit and in truth. We want to have understanding. That when we agree, we know what we're agreeing to. Now here's the thing. You can't pick and choose what you agree to. This is an all or nothing deal. An all or nothing. So you can't say, well, I like that part, and I like that part, and I like that part, but I don't like that part, and I don't like that, and I don't like that. So yeah, I'll do these things, but I ain't really trying to do those things. You can't do that. The contract is the contract. It is already written. You either agree to the contract or you don't. No, well, let's strike out subparagraph A and let's rewrite paragraph H. Most High, will you accept this? No. That's strange to me. I'm the Elohim here, not you. These are my conditions that I gave you. Now, if you want to come close, then you better agree to live holy and sanctified and keep my covenant. Or don't come close at all. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you right now, Father. We're thanking you for your rich word. We're thanking you for structure and order, and that you are the Elohim of order. You have told your people exactly how to line up, how to go forth, that you don't accept anything outside of what you have ordered, that you don't allow us to be liberal with your instructions, but that we are to obey them completely, exactly as you have said to do it. Father, give us a mind and a heart that we might do your will with joy, with peace, knowing that you know what's good for us better than we know for ourselves. Take that nature out of us, Father, to do what we will do, to justify our actions and believe that you have to accept it. Give them the understanding that you only have to accept what you want to accept. And you have showed us by example, it's either your way or the highway. There's no exception. It is your way or the highway. Let every person examine themselves, Father, to see if they desire to be within your will. And if they desire to be within your will, then they understand that they must do it exactly the way you say. Moses, your servant, messed up once. Didn't get to enter into the promised land. Father, give us the mind that we can't even mess up once. We don't even want to take that chance. And if we do mess up, we do it with fear and trembling, understanding that that once may keep us out. That once may make us go to the lake. That's how hard we have to try. That we don't treat you as common. That we have respect of you. That we tremble at your word. Because we understand that if we transgress, if we break your word, that it will cost us our life. Father, I pray that the people see and understand why they must fear you. You are not weak. You're not this teddy bear that the world is pushing, that you have your standard and you expect your standard to be kept. Give us a heart. Give us the strength. Give us the wherewithal to do thy will. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. Tomorrow morning, the Commonwealth of Israel. Why the Most High has me doing a community like the way that we're trying to do it, going to do it. Why we must have love one for another, genuine love. Why we can't, you know, the men can't be taking advantage of the women and the women can't be taking advantage of the men, and why both must be holy. Why we must know that we all must have everything in common. Why we can't be puffed up by the possessions in this world and positions in this world if we are going to serve the true and living Elohim. If we are his inheritance, he is our priority. Not how much money we can make, not what status we can get, but he is our priority. He says he will take care of us. All we got to do is walk in his ways, truly walk in his ways. So we don't want to play with this thing. We want to be serious about it to the utmost. Now, Father, as we depart and go our separate ways on this evening, I pray that you encamp your angels around your saints, that they keep them safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family. Have a blessed evening or the rest of it.
And his kingdom will reign forever. Forever, sing his praise, which dwells.